You're listening to an episode of the Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life podcast with your host, Kim Olver.
This is Kim, and welcome to the 202nd episode of Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life. If you like today's episode, be sure to leave me a review wherever you listen to your podcasts and share with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag me at Olver International. Today, we'll be continuing our conversation about DEIB, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging with Sylvester Baugh, a friend, colleague, and regular guest on this show. Sylvester is a coach, certified at Academy of Choice, and someone who runs a lot of DEIB workshops. He is currently invested and passionate about running various men's groups designed to give men, particularly Black men, a space to talk about whatever is on their minds, but mainly focused on relationships. Today, I want to talk more with him about these groups and what participants get from them. Thank you for joining us today, Syl. I'm so grateful you were able to create time to talk with us about this important topic.
Well, thank you, Kim, for having me. And of course, I always look forward to an opportunity to, one, interact with you and to share with the public some things that are going on with me.
All right, let's just jump in then. I know that you do these groups because often you'll say to me, well, I have my men's group tonight, and that's wonderful, but I don't know a lot about it. So I am going to be learning with our audience what these groups are about. So tell me how you started doing these men's groups.
I started doing these men's groups maybe 2 years ago, shortly after I had my operation for a kidney transplant. I was moved and led to work with men more directly. It is primarily Black men, but the groups are really open for any man because I think these are all topics that all men address. But up till now, it has been primarily for Black men. One of the groups I run is through an organization called PADS. And the other group I run is a more public group, and it consists of men from different parts of the country, different parts of the world. And those groups I run virtually, and they're done monthly every second Tuesday of the month. We're looking to either expand those groups and maybe even add an additional group. So I'm excited about the opportunity to work with men. This is something that I hadn't focused on in my life before, but now I'm finding it very enlightening and hopefully fulfilling for the men that join.
That sounds wonderful. So how do you find these people? Obviously, PADS. Can you tell the audience what PADS is?
Yeah, PADS is an organization that assists those that have been displaced, considered AKA homeless. And they have a facility in the community of Country Club Hills that is called the Wellness Center. And it's an apartment complex that houses those that are recently homeless, recently incarcerated, dealing with maybe some level of displacement. And they can apply for and maybe qualify for an apartment unit. Many of the men that I work with there, obviously, they come from the apartment complex. And they are dealing with a variety of issues that are facing them, from substance abuse to criminal justice issues, and of course, the possibility of homelessness. And the second group I got primarily from social media, specifically an app called WhatsApp, where I'm a part of different chat groups, and I was able to recruit men and start actually a group within that app. And we expanded it to create what's now called the Inside Out Job Community.
Well, that's cool. What exactly does that mean? I think I know from a choice theory perspective, but maybe it's a different reason. So tell our audience what that means, Inside Out Group.
The Inside Out Job Community is a community where men can come together and work on themselves to become better males in society. And so the Inside Out Job Community encourages men to focus squarely on themselves and not focus on outside issues, jobs, relationships, women, which is a major focus, but look at how whatever topic we're discussing, how it impacts you and how you manage it or deal with it.
All right. That's really cool. And when you started these groups, what was your goal for the group?
My goal for the group was to provide a platform for men where they would feel comfortable in sharing and being vulnerable, where men would begin to take a close look at themselves and areas where they could improve without any risk of hurt, harm, or danger. That was my goal. And thus far, I think we've reached that goal.
How do you go about creating this safe space for men?
Please don't take this personally. The first thing is to keep women out of it. That's the first thing, because the inclusion of the female distorts the environment for the males, and they don't feel safe and free to be vulnerable and transparent. And then the second component that's very, very important is that for me to become a facilitator that can keep us focused, because every topic that we discuss, the female is intertwined in there somewhere. It is my goal to not allow the female to be interjected so it doesn't disrupt the environment.
Okay. One of the things I'm interested in is there a requirement that the men in the group have to be single, or can they be married, or are they exclusively married? What is their relationship status of the people in the group?
It varies. I have married men, divorced men, single men. I've even had some homosexual men. There's really no requirement as it relates to that, just that you are male. That is the one requirement. To ensure that requirement is met when the meeting starts, I ask that each male turn on their camera and allow us all to see that they are males so that the environment will be safe and comfortable for everybody that's in attendance.
So what do you think it is about a female's presence that would change that safe environment?
Everything. I think males have focused a lot on females since the beginning of time, not just the physical aspect of a woman, but it's also the mental aspect, the emotional aspect, and the spiritual aspect. Ultimately, the majority of the males that come to the group are interested in, have been in, or looking forward to being in a relationship with a female. Many times that becomes the focus of their existence. Even if they want to be business owners, they want to be bachelors, they want to work for a company, it always includes a relationship with a female. The female becomes the focus for them. And one of the main focuses of any discussion we have is the female.
Is it hard for you to keep the focus away from females in your groups?
It is a challenge, but I'm prepared for it. I know it's going to come. I've been facilitating discussions with individuals and groups for over 40 years, so I'm well versed in what to do, and I'm well versed in what the goal is and how to get back to the goals. In that respect, it's not difficult, but it is a challenge because I know how thirsty men are to talk about females. It's just something that I expect to come about, and I welcome it. And I just find that it's necessary for me to stay focused on the topic at hand.
Okay. And do you think that the people in your groups are frustrated by the fact that you don't have conversations about females when they seem so desperate to have those conversations?
Absolutely. But I don't think it diminishes their desire to be there, because what they get out of the group is something that they didn't expect. Like, for instance, we had a discussion on temptation 1 month, and all the guys came in thinking, oh, yeah, this got to be about women, because women are their biggest tempters. But I opened the discussion talking about going to the grocery store and you haven't eaten yet. And all men could say, yeah, I've done that. So we began to talk about, if you don't prepare yourself, you open yourself for temptation. And we went through a lot of things regarding temptation. I took that angle, so it didn't become sexual or didn't become a personal relationship issue. It became, how do I best prepare myself to diminish temptation?
Including females.
Yes, absolutely. that part of it was a discussion, because there are a lot of things that men do to enhance temptation as it relates to females.
Like what?
Well, if you decide that you're going to engage in watching pornography before you go to the sports bar to watch game with your buddies, you're going to be more tempted to engage in an interaction with a female because of how you prepared yourself to go. A lot of that internal preparation that we should do, we don't do. We go out into society and we're not prepared to handle and resist temptation when it comes our way.
What do you say? Why is resisting that temptation a good thing, especially if the people are looking for a relationship?
Because if you're looking for something that you're not prepared to manage effectively, that's why it's a bad thing. Inside, you say, yeah, I want a female in my life. And so you see one that you're attracted to. You're tempted by her attractiveness. And so you're tempted to approach her. Then you're tempted to talk to her. And then you're tempted to get a number. And then you're tempted to engage in future interactions with her. But yet you have not prepared yourself for a long-standing relationship. You're just going based on desire and temptation. Mm. And so when it gets to the point of a long-standing relationship, now you're at the crossroads. And what do? For many males, they begin to retreat back to, wait a minute, I'm not ready for this. I don't want a commitment. I just found you attractive, didn't want to miss the opportunity. And then I got your number. And then we met up for lunch. And then we went out later for dinner. They didn't prepare themselves in the beginning for the temptation. And now it's at a place where somebody can end up hurt.
Okay, I understand that. You mentioned that your goal for the group in the beginning was to provide a safe space for men to learn to be more transparent and to share some of the obstacles that they're experiencing. Has that purpose evolved in any way, or is it still what it was when you started?
Oh, it's clearly not what it was when it started. It's definitely evolved. I had some testimonials that have been awesome. My average age in these groups may be 40. And so you're thinking about men who have spent the last 25 years of their lives perfecting who they are and what they are. In a matter of months, I don't expect that it will metamorphosize into something completely different. But is the journey beginning? Absolutely. But this is another reason why I've been considering doing more frequent meetings more than once a month.
That makes sense. This is giving them something that they need. They're going to want more of it.
Yes. Yes. And as awesome as I really believe these meetings are, many of the things that you and I teach, everybody's not ready for it. And to be a part of the Inside Out Job community, you have to really buy into the fact that Inside Out Job is really necessary for you to transform. A lot of males don't really believe that. They believe that the problem with them existing in society and getting involved in relationships is the female's fault. They're not really interested in engaging in conversation about improving themselves as much as they want to talk about, what are we going to do about these females?
Right. And when you get females together, they're having very similar conversation, only they're not looking at themselves as the problem. They're looking at the males as the problem, because we don't do the inside out job first. We know what we want. And if we can't get what we want, it must be because of the other person's inability or unwillingness to give it to us. It's fascinating that you're working with men and you see all of these misconceptions and misunderstandings. I have seen with women similar misunderstandings, misconceptions. I'll never forget the time that I was asked by the website Your Tango to write about 50 Shades of Grey. I wrote about the male's perspective and the woman's perspective, and the comments that were on those articles were scathing towards the opposite sex and the assumptions that each made about the motives behind the behaviors of the other party in the relationship was just shocking to me. It just made me realize that I could live to be 206 and not run out of work to do, because it just seems like this is going to be the work. How do we ever get men and women together in a relationship that can sustain the test of time?
That is the age-old question. My belief that my assignment is to provide this platform for men. One of the things that I say all the time, even in my coaching, is that I don't have all the answers, but I can make them easier to find. When men are able to engage in conversations with other men around whatever the issues are that we're dealing with that day, it could be decision making or temptation or finding a purpose, whatever it is, it moves the needle just a little bit more to the middle, which is where ultimately we want to get. So when we can have that alignment between males and females, then we will see stronger, more collaborative relationships, but maybe not in our lifetime. I just decided to really engage in this portion to see if we can at least help in that area.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned that you had some testimonials. What do you think the average participant gets out of these groups?
I think the average participant gets an alternative perspective, which I believe is a great thing. Anytime that you can shift a person's mindset to consider a different way of thinking is great. I would say another thing that they get is a jolt. They get a jolt of energy and encouragement to see things from another perspective and actually engage in new behaviors. I always hear that the night of and maybe a few days after the meeting, and then I think it kind of fizzles. Even though we try to keep the discussions going in our inside out job chat groups, but I'm really considering having more frequent meetings so that the impact can be greater and more long lasting.
Yeah, more continuous would be great, because a month is a long time to wait in between sessions when you're trying to make changes to longstanding patterns. You mentioned 25 years, maybe every other week would be a good place to get to. You also talked to me offline about maybe adding another group. What are you thinking about that?
I'm thinking about groups that may be more specific, like for married men, because married men deal with things that are different than single men. I'm thinking about looking more specifically in those areas, either males that are married or have been married, because they have a different perspective. That's something I'm thinking about.
Have you ever considered having a group with both sexes?
At some point. It will have to be by invitation only, because I really believe that when we combine the sexes, these have to be people who are prepared for the level of interaction that they're going to engage in. These will be people that, for lack of a better analogy, have graduated from the inside out job community.
If you had a co-ed group, you mean? The men would be coming from the inside out community, so you would have to carefully screen the females who come in. You wouldn't work with a group of females then prior to this co-ed group, or would you?
I don't know if I would. That's a possibility. But thinking about the co-ed group, it would be like jury selection. If I'm not working with the group, I would have to get some idea of their position as it relates to men being a part of a man group, what their perspective on the male species is. Those kinds of things. And that'll give me some idea of their readiness to actually collaborate with males in a group.
Can you share with me why you think men have such a difficult time being transparent and vulnerable with women?
Perceived weakness is the big struggle. There are certain terms that I don't use, because weakness, vulnerable, woundedness, these are terms that don't resonate with most men. I don't typically use them. I don't typically talk to the male group about being hurt as opposed to the need to repair. Terminology is important, because the world has conditioned the male psyche to hear certain things, and it resonates with them in a way that says you're weak, you're not a man. that plays a big role in their inability to be vulnerable and transparent.
As a sister to two brothers, I remember my father telling my brothers, quit your crying. I'll give you something to cry about, or be a man, suck it up. And my husband repeated that with our two sons. So I imagine that that message is passed down father to son through generations and generations. And to be fair to the men, I would also say that I think while women say that they want men who can be transparent and vulnerable, there's a line for them that if they're too transparent or too vulnerable, then they do see them as not as attractive. Maybe weak is the word. I haven't actually heard that, but it might be that. I know we talk a lot in circles where I travel that we're attracted to that bad boy. Usually it's the bad boy that has that tough exterior, doesn't care about anything. And women have this innate desire to be the one that can conquer the bad boy. If you can turn the bad boy into the vulnerable, understanding, caring man because you love them with such pure, unconditional love, then you have been successful in your quest and you have found the right person for you because they're tough, they're strong, but with you, they're different because of how special you are. So I can understand a man's reluctance to show that side of himself because it could mean the person no longer has an interest in them. So it is a very fine line to walk. I don't know how you address that with the men in your groups because you don't want them to be too much, but enough. And if it's an inside out job, is it really about becoming who you are? Just who you are, and the right people will find you.
Yeah, again, it's a slippery slope. Part of it is providing the environment for men to be themselves. It's not like males are emotionless. We have emotion. We have tear ducts. We have a heart. We have a spirit. We are equipped with everything to show emotion, but we are also very prone to suppress. This could lead to other issues that we deal with in our lives, but we don't know how to actually appropriately show emotion. Yesterday, I met with a group of men at my church and we watched a movie together. And it was a very moving movie, encouraging for men. And I shared with them in the opening, I said, just allow your spirit to be open and allow your creator to work within you. If you feel like you want to shed a tear, let the tears go. This is a safe place. You don't have to play the tough role. If you feel like you want to laugh, it's okay to laugh, but you can't cry. I love being able to set an environment where men feel free to do that. They are free to share emotions, both visually and verbally. Once they get used to that, they are more comfortable being that. The next level is, are you able to do it around a female? That's an additional conversation.
Do you think that females respond to that in a way that hurts men and makes them not want to do it? So what might they do? What are the things? You're very, yes, not just one yes. What is it that women can do that would cause men to never want to do that again?
And again, don't get me wrong. I understand the excitement because it's something women want from men. They want vulnerable men. They want transparent men. So I get it. You're excited when you hear that. But when a man is being transparent, that's because he feels safe with you. That's because he really trusts you. So if he's elevating to a place of transparency and being vulnerable, don't bombard him with questions surrounding the things that he shares. Allow him to evolve at his own pace because your excitement could turn that environment that he felt safe in now into an environment that he no longer feels safe in because he's not ready to have prolonged discussions or continual discussions. But he lifted a burden when he was able to share and be open. So what a female can do is respect that moment, embrace that moment, appreciate that moment, and continue to be there for the male as he continues to evolve in his transparency. But if you rush it, you can shift that environment and he probably will shut down.
All right. if I could just share a female perspective. And I'm not saying this is true of all women in the world, for sure. But I would want to ask further questions, so I'd be guilty of causing harm, as you mentioned. But it's not so much to satisfy my own curiosity as it is to express interest. Because the opposite can happen. If you're quiet and you ask no questions, it could communicate to the person that this doesn't seem important to you and you want them to stop talking about it. What would be a good balance between those two positions?
Yeah, the happy medium is what you need to find. You can respond by saying, wow, you know, I'm honored and I'm thankful you shared that with me. I would love to talk about it more whenever you're ready. I'm here. And show appreciation for the moment, the time, and make yourself available and show interest in wanting to know. But allow the male to carry that pacing because the pacing is a part of the environment. And so you really want to be careful not to rush it, because you could go out with another couple. And if you rushed it, he's sitting there wondering, oh, is she going to bring this up now with my boy and his girl? Because you've done it previously. But if you just show interest and availability, that's what he's going to need.
That's good advice. I have one last question, and that is, you mentioned that your group is open to any males, but predominantly you experience your groups with men of color. So I'm wondering if you believe that there are unique challenges that men of color experience that perhaps white men may not. Maybe if you had white men in your groups, it would change the feeling of safety for some of your group members. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think the challenges are universal. All males deal with some of our topics we've discussed in the past: decision-making, temple talk, avoiding distractions, resisting temptation. All men deal with those issues. But I think the cultural differences of rearing and experiences is where you might see a split. So the perspective as it relates to those issues can be different. I could see the difference being enlightening for some men, because they may realize that all their lives they've looked at this temptation thing from this perspective, whereas this man sees it differently. That could really add to the group. But I believe the topics that we discuss are universal. It's the cultural perspective in which it's received and displayed is where there may be difference.
All right. We've pretty much covered everything I have time to talk about today, although I'm sure we could fill a whole nother program about this. Is there anything you might like to add that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
Well, one, if anybody is interested in becoming a part of the Inside Out community, they could email me at silbaugh@gmail.com. Let me know of their interest. The only requirement probably is that you agree to follow our community's rules. And they're not very stringent, but they're important, because we don't do any judging of a person. We don't utilize any blaming or criticizing of individuals. The focus is on ourselves. We are about support and acceptance and encouragement. If you can agree to the rules and the guidelines, you'll be more welcome to come. And right now we're meeting once a month on every second Tuesday. Probably we're going to add to that in the near future. You can reach me that way. Secondly, I want to talk about the Mental Freedom Group, which, Kim, you know all too well, being the founder. Mental Freedom experience that I'm going to be having probably within the next 30 days. I'll be sending out the information regarding the invitation to that. Also, the book that I'm preparing to write based on mental freedom, entitled Mental Freedom for the Black Male. Those are some things that I have coming up that I'm very excited about and would like to share with the public.
You know me, I'm super excited about the last two things for sure, about the mental freedom experience you're going to run and the mental freedom book. I know, like you said, about the people that might be attracted to mental freedom, but could you tell our audience, maybe they like your approach and they'd like to do their mental freedom experience with you, what they can hope to get out of that experience?
Wow. What people can hope to get is some insight surrounding taking better control of your life and relieving stress, anxiety, some of the misery that you may go through. If you've asked yourself questions about how do I get over this? How do I deal with that? If you got to a point where you just don't think your life can get any better because you have these children or you're married or you're single, doesn't matter. You can come and get information that will help you in all of those areas. And if the principles are implemented, you'll see great results immediately and you'll begin to feel the impact of the experience of mental freedom.
Is it an ongoing group like your men's group?
No, unfortunately, it's not an ongoing group. It'll be 6 weeks, 6 sessions, 2-hour sessions. And then once you're done with the experience, then you can go further to learn more, but you'll go further at a different level, possibly with a different person, not necessarily. But you'll be able to also share these principles with other people that you may be working with, or maybe you desire to work with, or maybe other institutions. It's not like the men's group where we meet regularly for now until whenever, but the Mental Freedom Experience will be a 1.5-month session in total where you'll get these 6 principles that I think will definitely change your life.
Great. And if you're a counselor or a coach and you want to become a mental freedom practitioner or a mental freedom specialist, you can do that. But it's additional sessions beyond the Mental Freedom Experience. That's wonderful. And how do people reach you?
They can reach me at my email address, bartraining@onebox.com.
Hey, I'll put your email address in the show notes. I really appreciate you joining us today, Syl. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And thank you for adding a female perspective. It really helped me a lot.
Oh, my pleasure. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And remember to leave a review and share with your connections on social media. I also hope you'll join me next week when we'll be shifting the conversation to mental health and choice theory. I'm looking forward to it. Talk with you then.
This has been another thought-provoking episode of Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life. To listen to past episodes, please visit our website at lifeequalschoices.com or listen wherever you download your podcast. And don't forget, remember to subscribe.